the show that is all baseball.
They're better than they were a year ago.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Jackson Lumber and Millwork. Bigelow Tea, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmowers, The 99 Restaurants, Sing Sang Cocktail in a Can, Win Waste Innovations, and Woodbridge Wines.
On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
He is 2-for-3 against Bale. 97, that ate him up inside, struck him out.
Three straight fastballs, a good fastball hitter, and George Springer. I'm going to tell you right now, Brian Bale saying, let's go. And it's all about location. Velocity's there, but these pitches right there are painted perfectly on the inside corner and down.
Here's the 2-2. Wave and a miss. Got him with a slider. Back-to-back strikeouts.
I'll tell you right now, his stuff is electric, and then he breaks off a 2-2 slider that just is just enough where you can see Vlad Jr. out front. It doesn't even have to be perfect. With that arm speed with 98, you got to be ready for 98 in, and he is set up inside all night for the first two hitters with a 2-2 breaking ball.
All right, this is where we're going to start today. It's obviously a highlight of Brian Bale from a couple of weeks back. That was a game against the Toronto Blue Jays. Over at Fenway Park, where I thought Bayo was dominant. Looked as good as he has all year long. Might have been his best outing of the season in retrospect. I'll see if I can give you the exact game log, or the pitching line, rather, for Bayo in that game. He was terrific, though, against the Blue Jays. That one was 5 innings, 6 hits, 2 runs, 1 walk, 7 strikeouts. The Red Sox ended up losing the game 3-2. But I would argue that was one of the nights where you went, ooh, like maybe there's something coming here with Brian Bale.
There's been a couple of those in losses where he's started and, you know, there's been some hard luck that he's had to deal with hits. But that Yankee game, I thought he fared well.
Absolutely, Murray. And here's the truth of it. Since he came back, and really even before that, okay, you hear Alex Cora talk all the time about Brian Bale started to turn a corner in a game against Houston where he had to come off the mound with an injury. And then he missed 3 weeks and came back. But basically, beginning right at the end of July, Brian Bayo has been a force. Okay, and this is a long way. And when I say force, I'm using that loosely. You know, he's still not going more than 5 or 6 innings in every game. He's throwing too many pitches.
He could say it like this. He's one of the only reasons to watch.
Right? Absolutely, he is. He's pitching tonight against the Cincinnati Reds.
Probably the reason.
So here's what I'm telling you. If you're going to watch a baseball game, watch on the night that this kid pitches. There's no football tonight. And so if you want to watch something, Bayo's pitching against the Cincinnati Reds. Thank you for that, Murray. It's an excellent point by you. But here's where I want to start. This headline was in the Boston Globe today, and Murray, it relates to what you were saying, because we spent a lot of time yesterday on Kevin Plawecki, you know, the problems the Red Sox have internally, all of which are still on the table, by the way. Okay, the dismissal of Kevin Plawecki and the way it went down, and more importantly, the response from the Red Sox clubhouse tells you how pissed off they are at ownership and management this year. Normally, that type of stuff wouldn't get as much attention as it did, and it certainly wouldn't have gotten attention if they were winning. But it became a big deal because right now the uniform personnel hates upper management and ownership. They feel like they got hung out to dry. They may be right. I feel like the team didn't invest enough in the club, which brings me to 2023. And again, the headline in today's Globe. And I know Alex Speer doesn't write the headlines, but the headline on the story is, why Red Sox rookie Brian Bayo could end up in the 2023 rotation. Why Red Sox rookie Brian Bayo could end up in the 2023 rotation.
There's a word that feels like it doesn't belong there.
Could?
Yeah, right.
Could? What the hell do you mean could? No, there's no could. If this kid starts in AAA, shame on them. What the hell are we doing? What's the whole point? Could end up in the rotation? No. Will is already in the rotation. And I want to add Garrett Whitlock to this discussion because there was a news item today involving Garrett Whitlock. Murray, I don't have it in front of me. I know you've been reporting it.
Yeah.
Whitlock had arthroscopic surgery on his hip today.
No, he's going to in New York next week.
Okay.
It's a right hip impingement, I believe, is how it's being termed.
Okay, so he's going to have a scope job on his right hip
Next
week. Does it say that he's not pitching again?
Yeah, he's done for the year.
Okay, so I'm not surprised by that. The Red Sox should have pulled the plug on Whitlock a while ago. He's not right, and there's no point in sending him out there. I know they're trying to honor the competitive part of the full major league season, and you know, all of that means something to me. But when you get to this spot with a kid like him, pull the effing plug, get him off the mound, get him under the knife, get him ready for 2023. My question as it pertains to Whitlock is, how do you use him? What do you do? Which, again, I come back to that headline. Why Red Sox rookie Brian Bayo could end up in the 2023 rotation. Do people understand this kid has to be in the rotation next year?
I don't understand how it's even a question.
It shouldn't be a question. And I don't even mean it from the standpoint of, you know, they're desperate and they need the arm. And no. That's not what I mean. I mean that for the future of the Red Sox, can we develop the kid? Develop him. What's he going to pitch in AAA for? He has pitched perfectly fine in the big leagues. He doesn't need the minors anymore.
So, forgive me for this, because you just read the headline, but did you go through this column and Alex Spears said that that's perhaps part of the plan, that they want to have him in AAA and he'll be in Worcester for a little bit so that they can, you know, what's the reasoning behind that there's even some question behind not having him in the rotation to start 23?
I think it's just a cautious headline. I think much of what Alex Spear writes is indicating that there's every chance this kid will be in the rotation.
I think he's already proven he should be part of it.
He has proven it, Murray. He has proven it. And again, this relates to me to the top. So let me ask you this question.
Yeah.
Because I want to ask our listeners as well. Is there any doubt in your mind that Brian Bayo should be in the rotation next year?
No, none. And I don't think that he's like an ace, but he's a good, solid two or three, I think. He's proven that.
You know, okay. And I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just like the strikeout numbers are decent against good lineups. I know, again, he's, you know, some decisions haven't gone his way, but he's the only reason to watch. The guy's an exciting pitcher. They haven't had an exciting pitcher that they've had in their system brought up since, like, Clay Buchholz. So that's a line that, you know, I'm stealing from Matt McCarthy, but it's true. You know, this kid looks legit. You would think that he should be one of your frontline guys for next year.
Okay. And what do you do with Whitlock?
Back in the bullpen.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's, I mean, it's just that's where he's best served, in the bullpen as a weapon like that.
Okay, and this is another question I have for Red Sox fans. Where do you want Whitlock next year? You know where I've wanted him this year, and guess what? I've said this along the way. I know people are going to, you know, I don't know, some people call me a hypocrite. I'm spinning on this one. I'm flipping on
it. Oh, yeah?
I'd rather have Whitlock in the rotation next year, at least to start the season. And again, I'll tell you why. This gets back to that whole freaking headline. Could be in the rotation? Are you kidding me with this? Listen, the Red Sox have a major problem when it comes to young pitching talent in their organization. Major problem. They have two kids here. Whitlock's 25, Bayo's 23. He'll be 24 in the spring. That have good arms and I'll call it front-end stuff. Okay? And it, you know, it's sort of the same thing. But you get the idea. The point is, I don't know if they're aces. I don't know if they belong in the bullpen in the long term or what. I know that Whitlock's a force in the bullpen, but what I do know is that starting pitching on the free agent market costs a freaking fortune. It costs a fortune. And the Red Sox have so many damn holes to fill that if they re-sign Bogarts and they re-sign Devers, they're going to spend $60 million or something close to it on those two players. Let's call it $55 million. So of the $110 they have to spend, half of it is going to go to the guys they have to keep. So just take half that money and chop it. It's gone. So Bayo has to be in your rotation. You need a cheap, effective option. Bayo's only making $700,000. Whitlock's, you know, his salary goes up next year. It's the first year of his extension, but he's still only making like $4 million. You could have the two of them in your rotation for $5 million. So I know everybody thinks that the Red Sox can spend $400 million. They're not going to. They're going to draw the line somewhere. And the payroll will still be somewhere around $240 million is my guess, give or take. They went over the threshold last year. I'm assuming they will probably go over it again. You know, they went over it this year. But you do need some cheaper, effective options. So you want to bring back a Michael Wacha, maybe re-sign an Eovaldi, whatever. Fine. You need effective pitchers in there who are cheap, and both those guys are cheap. And there's this. Listen closely on Bayo. In the last seven games he has pitched, which I think include one relief outing, he has a 2.97 ERA. Okay, that's going back to the end of July now. The batting average against him is 252. And you would say, well, that's a fairly high number. Like, you know, it's not 180. It's 252. I don't know what the league batting average is this year now. My guess is in the 240 range. You remember early in the year it was in the 230s. It's probably between 240 and 245. So the point is he's allowing a batting average above the league average. I tell you, I don't care. You know why? I think that number's inflated because of infield hits.
Well, right. This is the thing with this guy. Every time you watch one of his starts, he's getting boned by someone making a screwed up, you know, making an error or something squirts through, and it's like a guy was just out of position by an inch or two, and it's like, ah, oh, that shouldn't have got through.
Murray, nobody makes good contact against him.
Yeah.
So the batting average I gave you, 252, you know what the slugging is against him? 287. I didn't think that that was mathematically possible. He's basically giving up only singles. That's what that's telling you. All he's given up is singles.
League average is 243.
Okay, so he's a little above the league average. So you would say, well, they're hitting him hard and they're hitting other pitchers. Wrong. He's given up a crap ton of infield hits, and the slugging against him is 287. He's yet to allow a home run. Brian Bello is not allowed a home run, which makes sense because with the way his ball breaks in on right-handed batters and his changeup darts, the OPS against him is only 618. He's got to be in the rotation. I feel the same way about Whitlock. I want Whitlock in the rotation to start next year unless there's some development via trade or free agency that changes my mind. And let me just tell you this. I believe that Garrett Whitlock is a better reliever than he is a starter. So ultimately, he's probably going to end up in the bullpen. But for the sake of the team, the right thing to do in 2023, as of right now, might be to put him in the rotation and then rebuild your bullpen in free agency because relievers are cheaper than starters are. Make Whitlock a starter, see how it goes. Now, you need backup plans. You got to have a guy like Walker on the staff, and you're probably going to keep Pivetta and let him be your number five starter because at the very least, Pivetta stays healthy and takes the ball. So you got to take all these things into account in terms of durability, effectiveness, salary, all of it when you build your staff. You know, don't be one of these people that calls me up and says, well, go sign Jacob DeGrom and go sign Justin Verlander. Sure, yeah, no problem. Throw $40 million apiece at those two guys. Bring them in. What the hell? Pay $400 million for payroll. You got to give me something realistic. Okay, play the game a little bit. There is a budget involved, whether we like it or not. So play the game a little bit. What do you do with those guys? Brian Bello could be in the rotation. Holy crap, I saw that could be. If he's not, that's a problem. He has to be in the rotation. We'll get your calls when we come back in the Baseball Hour.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Whitlock trying to keep that run going right here. And inning number two for him now, eighth inning. It's Judge, Rizzo, and Stanton. This part of the order he's facing has hit 77 home runs.
That's incredible.
1-2. Struck him out. Looking with a dandy of a changeup. And a big first out of the bottom of the eighth. Bounding ball. Scooped up by Dahlbeck. And makes the play. Two up, two down. Here's the 0-2. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Mr. Whitlock is back. And the Red Sox are overjoyed. He faces six batters. And he gets them all out.
Amazing.
That one goes back a few weeks, too, maybe longer. Whitlock came off the injured list. Didn't skip a beat, blew away the Yankees in that outing. The Red Sox won the game. Now he's headed for the, he's going under the knife. Going to have surgery next week. I believe it's a scope job, though, you said, Murray, right? Arthroscopic hip surgery?
Yep. Yeah.
For an impingement in his hip, which has been affecting him all year long. He's not walking right. I mean, I think that's painfully apparent. I'm going to get to your phone calls here, but I want to add Whitlock into the discussion because I think you could argue the two most important guys in the Boston organization right now might be Garrett Whitlock and Brian Bello. And I'm not joking. So obviously the Red Sox need Xander Bogaerts. They need Rafael Devers. Tristan Casas is a big part of what they want to do. Yes. Where is the pitching going to come from? Where's it going to come from? Where are you going to find these pitchers? And you have two guys in-house who have excelled. Well, excelled is too strong for Bayo, so I'll take that back. Whitlock has excelled out of the bullpen. Do you realize in his time as a reliever, Whitlock is 11-5 with a 2.24 ERA. And let me tell you that the 2.24 is inflated because he had those back-to-back outings about 2 weeks ago where he got absolutely freaking hammered with a bad hip. I wonder if this is part of the reason the Red Sox have decided to pull the plug is that he didn't have the same stuff. He didn't pitch for about a week. He came back and looked a lot better against the Orioles. As a starter, his ERA is almost 2 runs higher. But in his 2 years out of the bullpen, the Red Sox are, counting the postseason, 51-22 when Whitlock appears in a game. Okay, 51-22. And I think the 22 losses are a little skewed because that first year, they brought him in just to get him acclimated to the big leagues. In other words, I think he came in early on in games they were behind. He didn't become what I would call a high-leverage reliever, one of their A-list relievers, until probably a couple of months into that season. So I would submit that the record is actually better than 51-22. And that includes, by the way, 4-1 in the postseason. Okay? And yet, someone like me, and if you want to call me stupid, fire away. Because heaven knows you wouldn't be wrong. But someone like me looks at it and says, you are so short on good, cheap starting pitching that you might have to put this kid in the bullpen, put this kid in the rotation, and rebuild your bullpen through free agency because it's cheaper. And you know what? Maybe Whitlock can be a 15-game winner. He's got front-end stuff. So does Bayo. Those two guys have to be big parts of your pitching staff next year. Have to. Anthony on the Cape. Go ahead, Anthony. What do you got?
Yeah, Maz. Did you read the email I sent you a week or two ago about Whitlock and Houck?
I think I did, actually. You're going to have to refresh my memory, though, without getting into too
much. Well, listen, yeah, I've been asking you all year, okay? You haven't been able to answer because I know the answer is not there. Nobody has the answer. I think it's because of the vaccine. But why in the world? You knew going into the season Tanner Houck wasn't vaccinated. You knew that. So why did you put him in the rotation?
Good question.
And then 2-3 weeks. Well, good question. It's the whole season, Tony, because that one move, trying to teach him a lesson because he's not vaccinated. So you're putting politics ahead of baseball. Listen, if you wanted Whitlock in the rotation, start him there at the beginning of the year. But
I
Tony,
agree.
Moving forward, what are you gonna do with Tanner Houck?
Well,
he's
so
not gonna be vaccinated.
Yeah, Anthony, I'll tell you what, add him to the conversation. Because he's another good young arm. And again, like I put the other two a little bit ahead of Houck, who has had back surgery. But I would add him to the conversation. He's another young, cheap arm. You need young, cheap arms on your staff. And I don't mean just to have them. You need good ones. So Houck's got good stuff. Houck is hard to hit. He's another guy who is difficult to hit. And I would say the same thing about him in some ways that I say about Bayo. The biggest challenge is going to get those guys to throw strikes. Now, I think Bayo's secondary stuff is better than Houck's, and he's got better command of it. But of those three guys, you want to tell me that two of them have to go in the rotation? To me, that's sort of what the math is. Now, you want to put two of them in the bullpen, then you got to go find yourself another starter. This is the absence of young innings in that rotation is a problem. It's a big problem. It's easier to me. It's easier to find free agents in the relievers on the free agent market than it is starters, at least at a reasonable price. Chris in Hartford, go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, you definitely, if you want to go Whitlock, you got to start them in the beginning of the season. Doing what they did, they hurt the kid. Okay. Him opening up that groin, that hip, that was horrible. And that is a very immature Chaim Bloom. Now, my question is for you, Maz, when it comes to Rafi Devers. I love Rafi. He fixed his feet to throw the ball, become a better defensive player. How much money did he blow by his emotions allowing him to get to him, swinging out of his ass with the whole thing with Bogarts at shortstop? He's also very mature. I'm giving him the money, but how much money do you think he lost there, Matt?
I don't understand the quote. What do you mean? How did he lose money? Oh, he hung up.
He hung up.
I don't know how Devers lost money. What, because he played hurt? Is that the deal? Is that the logic? Rafi Devers didn't lose money. He didn't lose money. If he takes less, it's because, you know, the Red Sox made him a better offer than they made him at $21 million. Now, I would tell you that I think the price for third baseman has come down. Austin Riley in Atlanta signed for $21 million a year. Now he's 4 years away from free agency. Devers is 1 year away. So Devers is going to be higher just from that. But Jose Ramirez and Austin Riley came in lower than people expected. That should bring down the price for Devers a little bit. It should. Now, again, what does that mean? I don't know. What does it mean for Bogarts? I don't know. But the Red Sox have to start their offseason by signing those two guys, and they need good young pitching. Fortunately, they have some that is basically big league ready. Bayo's big league ready now. When he got here, he wasn't. He's gotten better. Whitlock, we know, is big league ready, and Houck is big league ready. They've just got to find a way to tap into Houck's, you know, real potential. If Houck can throw more strikes or just come close to throwing strikes, he could be a force in that bullpen too, because the stuff is good. Martin in Texas. Go ahead, Martin.
Yeah, Tony, I think Bayo is just going to be in the rotation. I think that's just kind of a given, so I'm just going to move past that. They don't have a choice but to do it, but Whitlock's got to stay the close. Got to stay the closer because his out pitches as a starter, like his changeup and his slider, the batting average against him, the slugging percentage against him when he's been a starter has been absolutely terrible. And
yeah, Martin,
he has two good pitches, so I don't see how he could be a starter either.
Yeah, so Martin, you're not wrong. You're not wrong. Whitlock has been vulnerable to left-handed batters since he was, you know, in spring training that year, spring training of 2021. And I haven't seen a huge improvement in that area. I've seen a little bit, but his secondary stuff is not consistent enough. He might be better off in the bullpen. You might be right. In which case, if you wanted to say to me, we'll put Houck in the rotation and put Whitlock in the bullpen, you could probably sell me on that. I'll tell you what, because Anthony from the Cape called, and he was talking about Tanner Houck, and I would say, add him into the equation. Those three guys are basically all 24 to 26. All three of them. Houck was a first-round pick. Bayo's been hyped for a while now, and Whitlock was an absolute steal from the Yankees. And I would say, once they got Houck on the right track and stopped effing around with him, Houck's stuff is legit, and he's built to start. I mean, he looks like a durable guy to me. Right? Big-bodied reliever with great movement on the fastball, like the big-bodied right-hander is what I meant to say, not reliever. So there should be some innings. Now, again, he doesn't have a third pitch, but his sinker-slider combination, if he can harness them, is good enough to get by. And he could be a, you know, middle-of-the-rotation guy that gives you a lot of innings and, you know, he finishes with a winning record. You finish with a winning record on nights he pitches. And if that gets Whitlock in the bullpen, so be it. I think Whitlock's a better reliever than he is a starter, too, purely because of the fastball command. And he's fearless, which is huge. Jim Murray's Get Your Headlines when we come back. Could be a very eventful week in Major League Baseball. We'll explain why when we come back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now, more baseball and more Mavs.
Okay!
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Mavs on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
High fly ball, right field. There it goes! See ya! Number 58. He's three away from Roger Maris. And the pitch. Deep to left. There it goes! He's one away from Ruth. Home run number 59 for Aaron Judge. And it's 10-4 Yankees. Unbelievable. Now, only Roger Maris and Babe Ruth have ever hit more home runs in a season than Aaron Judge in the American League.
Well, I said before we went to break, could be a historic week in Major League Baseball. Aaron Judge, currently at 59 home runs, leads all of baseball. And I gave you this stat last night. To me, you know, people say, oh, who cares anymore about the home run race? I generally agree. I do. I generally agree. Who gives a rat's ass? Big deal. Not anything we haven't seen before. But what I find interesting about Judge this year, nobody is a close second. Nobody. Judge has got 59 home runs. Kyle Schwarber has 39. He's second. That's a 20 home run gap. 20 home runs. Judge has 59, as I said. And the Yankees are home here for the beginning of the week. I'm trying to find out how long then the Red Sox go in there later in the week. I totally spaced on that. The Red Sox are in there for four games beginning Thursday. But the next couple of nights, Judges get the Pirates.
Isn't one of those against the Red Sox an Apple Plus exclusive too? So it's going to be tough for people to watch. I've seen some scuttlebutt about that online because people are pissed in case that's the night he actually breaks it.
Murray, if I'm not mistaken, the four games against the Yankees are on four different networks.
Oh, that's silly.
Okay, so I think, double check this.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure Thursday night is a Fox game, or maybe Thursday night's ESPN.
One of them's an Apple game. I know that for
Apple's
sure.
Apple's Friday night.
That's what it is, okay.
Saturday's NESN, ESPN is Sunday. So maybe it's two, maybe it's three networks. But double check that. I think there's a chance it might be four. I thought that there was a Fox game one of those days. But in any case, because I'm going in there to do one game. I'm doing the Saturday game. That's it.
Okay.
Okay, the other three are on different networks. But Judges get the Pirates the next two nights. So you're looking at a situation there where, let's face it, the Pirates blow. Okay, so he could easily get to 61 here tonight or tomorrow. He's got 59. He just had a two home run game. It could happen any moment. And he's hitting high up in the order, so he's going to get five at bats a night, five plate appearances a night.
And I'm sorry, you probably just said this, but is that these are in Yankee Stadium or PNC?
They're at Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
He's home all week.
Okay.
So the great likelihood is that Aaron Judge is going to set the American League home run record this week. And I would love Kevin Maggiore's thoughts on this as well, and if those of you out there have an opinion. Again, 617-779-0985. Do you care, Murray?
Yeah, because it's kind of, this kind of thing hasn't happened in a while. And I know some people feel like this one's more legitimate, but there is real buzz surrounding this. Even though I certainly don't care about the Yankees. I mean, this guy is like the modern day Babe Ruth in a lot of ways. So how can you not be interested in that? Like, there's so much buzz around it. It's kind of unavoidable. Yeah, so I think it's good.
Would you feel differently if it were anyone but him? In other words, let's say it were Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, I would. I wouldn't be as interested. Yeah, Kyle Schwarber and the Phillies, I'd be like, yeah, okay. I'm going to try to go out of my way to see this and and catch these or in and out, or at least be like,
yeah, or follow it on Twitter or whatever, yeah. Right? I mean, that's
if it was Kyle Schwarber, if I found out about it the next day, that's good enough.
Yeah, you know who cares?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I admit it. The fact that it's Judge, and he's a Yankee and, the Red Sox connection and everything else, the fact that it's Judge makes me more interested in it than I otherwise would have been. Kevin, what about you? Do you care?
Yes, I do.
Really?
Yeah. Because A,
be honest,
Judge.
If you don't, say you don't.
Absolutely do. Absolutely. Because A, it's Judge. He's a Yankee. And B, and I truly think this is a real possibility that he could sign here. I would love to see him break that record and then leave. I just think it would be a long storyline, right? But I'm interested in it because of what could ultimately happen this offseason with him and the Yankees.
So, again, that's a big part of it for Judge, right? The story.
Yeah.
I mean, they offered him, 8 years and $231 million, I think it was this year? 8 years and $231, and he told them to stick it. Go pound sand. F off, not enough. Thanks, but no thanks. I'm going to play. Now he's got 59 bombs, and did I mention he could win the Triple Crown? Are you aware of this?
Yeah.
He's 1 point off the batting lead, basically, maybe two, depending on how the fourth digit plays out, so to speak. But you get the idea. He could win the freaking Triple Crown. A guy turned down money from the Yankees, bet on himself, might set the American League home run record and win the Triple Crown, and then cash in and give the Yankees the finger. How could you not love that if you are a Red Sox fan? That is a great effing story. It's a great story. And I will admit, in and of itself, baseball completely killed itself with the steroid era. So if people care less now than they did then, and I think that's indisputable.
Yeah.
Right? This is nothing like '98 was with McGuire and Sosa or
Dan Rather breaking in,
Right, none of that. Remember that, Murray?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, it was a national news story.
It was, yeah.
Right? It was a big deal, and it wasn't that long ago. So now we have a guy doing it post-steroid era. And again, the gap between Judge and everybody else is 20 home runs. I asked this question last night. So let's just say you think Judge is using steroids. How come someone else isn't doing it? I mean, he's the only one? You're telling me Kyle Schwarber could need 50 home runs on steroids? Of course he could. So there's still something unique about it. He's the one guy in the league that is putting up these kinds of numbers. But I will say that if you're one of these people that looks at it and says, well, screw that. The home run record doesn't mean anything anymore. There's a bigger picture story here. Baseball for years took the easy way out. So in the steroid era, post-lockout, post-work stoppage in 94-95, baseball had an attendance problem and a fan image problem and a credibility problem. All of that was real. So you know what they did? They jacked the ball. They got the home run chase, and the game got jacked. I mean, the whole game was juiced. And they got people back, and McGuire and Sosa and steroids, not necessarily in that order, saved baseball. Well, that's great, except that the next time you have a crisis with fan interest, what trick are you going to pull? You can't juice the ball again. I've been there, done that. The last several years, there was a stat out there recently that home runs and strikeouts have gone up X number of years in a row. I stopped counting because home runs got cheapened. They completely cheapened what was at one point the most exciting play in baseball, the one thing that everybody wanted to see. So they've completely diluted the product. And you know why they put all those Band-Aids on there? Because they weren't willing to change the rules of the game, which is what they should have done in the first place. This thing with the pitch clock and everything else has been going on for years. I mean, the pace of the game has slowed to a crawl over a span of 10 or 20 years. This is not anything new. But they dragged their feet. They took the easy way out. They messed with the baseball. They let steroids go. But they never actually changed the game on the field. Okay, so, in some ways, baseball got what it deserved because they didn't really put the effort and the energy into fixing the real problems in the sport. And yet, I will tell you, I'm interested. Because it's Judge, I'm interested. And I wouldn't. It's
well,
not this...
and for that storyline of betting on yourself. Like, I love that, and not to cross sports, but like what's going on with Lamar Jackson right now.
Sure.
I love that kind of crap.
Absolutely.
Take your deal and shove it. I'm going to bet on this, on me and myself, on having a great season and doing some historic things, and then I'm going to put you or another team over the barrel. I've always loved that.
I mean, amazing. And in the case of Judge, the Yankees actually offered him, you know, that he was going to play this year for an arbitration number anyway, which the Yankees wanted to keep around $18 million. But they, and the extension was 7 years and 213, I think it was, which was basically what the Red Sox gave David Price. His was 7 and 217. It's a 30 and a half million dollar contract per year is what Judge was going to get. So 30's nothing to sneeze at. And Judge told him to F off. F off. Go pound sand. And then he goes out and hits 59 bombs. He's got like 127 RBI or something like that. And the guy is now, you know, again, he's making a run at the Triple Crown, which is a fabulous, fabulous story. So something to watch this week. And again, if you want to get really greedy about it, hope that he doesn't break it the next two nights. Then he does it against the Red Sox on Thursday or Friday. Wouldn't that be something? 617-779-0985. We'll wrap it up with your...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the Baseball Hour with Tony Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Somebody said you got a new friend. But does she love you better than I can?
Okay, further evidence that baseball can't get out of its own way. This is good. This is rich. Kevin Maggiore, who's producing while Jimmy Stewart has had a procedure done recently and has been out, was out last week, out this week. Jimmy will be back with us next week. I've received a couple of emails about this as well, by the way, people asking about Jimmy. I don't know if you got any, Murray.
I have, yeah. People think he's been, like, axed.
Yeah, that people, right, exactly. People think Jimmy's been fired. Believe me, Jimmy's been in touch with us. More importantly, Jimmy's phone has been in touch with us. And filling us in on all kinds of stuff going on out there. So Jimmy will be back next week. Jimmy Stewart will. And but he did. He had a procedure a couple of weeks ago. Nothing too major. So, but he is recovering and should be back at the beginning of the week. But in any case, Kevin Maggiore came in here and said, you do really, because I said, you know, the Red Sox are on four different networks in the Yankee series this week, which would be of interest to people if Aaron Judge is about to pass or tie either Roger Maris for the American League home run record. Judge is at 59 home runs. Roger Maris has 61. Fine. The Red Sox Thursday game's on Fox. Saturday is on NESN. I'll be down there for that one. Sunday's ESPN. Friday is Apple TV. I didn't give those to you in order on purpose. Four different networks for the four games, including Apple TV on Friday night. So this guy could set the record and no one will see it.
Right. And given how the sport, like you said, can't get out of its own way, that's probably what's going to end up happening.
Definitely. Definitely it's going to be what happens. He's going to have 60 going into Friday night. Then he's going to hit two. He's going to tie and break on the same night. It'll all be on Friday night. And then Kevin Maggiore pointed this out. What's the other home run story taking place in baseball right now, Murray?
Albert Pujols.
Pujols. Unbelievable story, Albert Pujols. Got 19 home runs this year, a complete renaissance. I would clear my throat right now if I were Felger. But he had a complete renaissance, Albert Pujols, with the Cardinals. 19 home runs, now has 698 career home runs. He needs two for 700. Pujols does. So let me see. Tonight, the Cardinals are on the road at San Diego, which means they're on the West Coast. Friday night, they play the Dodgers out there. That is the second Apple TV game.
Oh, wow. Oh, that's hysterical.
So the two Apple TV games on Friday night involve both Aaron Judge, who's chasing the single-season American League home run record, and Albert Pujols, who is looking to become the fourth player in Major League history to hit 700 home runs. I get that right, right? He's the fourth. It would be Bonds, Aaron, and Ruth there. That's it. No one else has 700. Alex Rodriguez, I think, had 696 or something close. Just under 700. He didn't get there. Pujols has now passed him. So think of that. Like, and those are two, like, those are two legit players. Now, Judge has had some injuries, but Pujols, you could argue, Murray, is one of the three greatest right-handed hitters of all time. I mean, there aren't many guys you put in the same class. Hank Aaron is one of them. He's on the list. Bonds and Ruth are both left-handed. Willie Mays, who has 660 home runs, and not just the home runs, but also the average ability. Pujols is, if I'm not mistaken, Pujols is a career triple crown guy. And when I say career triple crown, that's my own terminology, meaning he has won a batting title, he has won a home run title, and he has won an RBI title. I think he's done all three of those things. So you don't find many guys in the game who've done that. I think Manny Ramirez did it. Miguel Cabrera did it. Miguel Cabrera did it in one season.
I know he didn't have the sustained career, but I'm glad you mentioned that name because I still think Manny is one of the great right-handed hitters of all time.
He is, and he's in the discussion too. Pujols is better. Pujols is a better hitter than Manny Ramirez. Career batting average of Pujols has gone down. It's now 296 because of the crap years with the Angels. But you know what his career average was in St. Louis? 325.
Jeez.
That's a freaking big number. 325. Anyway, Adam Jones coming up next. Christian Arcand alongside.
Joe Murray is.
Oh, Joe Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, Jeopardy Joe. Have you seen, by the way, talk about people who lose weight, Bedard. Have you seen Joe?
I think he's down 60 plus.
Oh, more. Joe Murray's lost like 75, 80 pounds. I asked him the other day. Looks fabulous. Anyway, Jim Murray's Get Your Headlines. Joe Murray's with Jones. We'll catch you tomorrow.
See ya.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.